Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bulbarch joined alongside Matt Douglas. We're taking you right up to 6 o'clock tonight. We have Indians baseball on the air a little bit later on. But, boy, today there's all kinds of great things for you to watch if you're a sports fan. Not only the Tribe, also the Columbus Blue Jackets, but, of course, on everyone's radar, it has been for months now, the NFL Draft. And here to help us break down the NFL Draft, NFL Draft Insider Chad Forbes joining us right now. Chad, thank you so much for the time. We know that you are absolutely slammed today, so we appreciate you joining us here today. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me. Let's get into it.
Well, you had detailed the dilemma on Twitter yesterday facing the Cardinals with this number one overall pick, and obviously we are getting to the end of silly season. I mean, all these rumors being thrown out there, not quite sure what to believe, but what's your gut feeling here on what the Cardinals might do with that number one overall pick? Do you think they'll pull the trigger on Kyler Murray? And if they do that, where do you think Josh Rosen goes?
You know, guy's very connected to the Cardinals. He's known ownership for a while. Told me there's one reality of the business is owner's own. General managers manage cap guys cap. Now, ownership would love to create some buzz out of the desert. If they're going to be mediocre, Josh Rosen, it's just not going to work in terms of at the ticket box office and overall with just the direction of the franchise. So I think ownership would love Kyler Murray. But realistically, what's the better football team? Josh Rosen with Quinnen Williams and Nick Bosa, or Kyler Murray with, you know, a second or third round pick thrown in there? So I think the football guys are saying, like, look at this, relax, don't buy into the media hype, and, you know, don't make a decision based on a box office or financial bottom line. Let's make the best decision football-wise, and that would be going with Quinnen Williams or Nick Bosa.
And speaking of Kyler Murray, you know, I think this year especially, there's a lot of intrigue around the draft because there are so many virtual unknowns, but what do you make of Murray as a prospect? I mean, he's just such an interesting study, a guy that certainly could have gone on to play baseball and probably had a nice career, but he decided to capitalize on all the hype surrounding his football career in college. Well, what do you make of him as a prospect?
You know, make no mistake, he's definitely capitalizing on this early success of Baker Mayfield coming out of the same system, but I'd be cautious there in making that comparison. They're not the same person or quarterback, and Baker Mayfield's over 6 feet. This kid's, you know, shade under 5'10", so it's going to be a little bit of a different transition for him. But you can't deny the upside. And I think if you're chasing upside near the Cardinals, given the state of their roster, it might be time to take a risk. And Murray has just, you know, he could be out of the league in 2 years and, you know, back on the bus in the minor leagues, or, you know, he could become one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. So that's the big unknown. And if you think it's even a 50-50 proposition, he could end up being, you know, a top five or top 10 quarterback in the NFL, then maybe it's the time to take a big risk for the Cardinals.
And it was interesting, you know, just kind of taking a look at what you put out there on Twitter yesterday. By the way, Chad's a great follow. You should follow him if you're a fan of the draft at NFL Draft Bites. That's at NFL Draft Bites. And you had kind of detailed the plan of attack for some of the teams that are drafting pretty high later on tonight. And, you know, a lot of options you threw out there for some of these teams was to trade down. And I know moving and shaking can be very tough to predict, but how much moving and shaking do you anticipate later tonight?
The people that have spoken to said there could be movement in the top five that would be more jockeying for position amongst those teams rather than somebody aggressively trading into the top five. The one team that's kind of interested and been talking to a few is the Bills, with the target being Quinnen Williams. I think the movement of the draft is going to start either around 8 to 11. Those are kind of the teams where you're going to start to see some movement, because most teams you talk to will say we've got 11 to 13 first-round grades in this draft. So eventually, some, you know, the teams that are sitting, I would say, you know, 18 to 25, really the Texans are looking to trade up. And, you know, a couple of teams sitting there in the 20s that have some draft cap will be looking to move up for their targets.
And I know you mentioned this a couple days ago on Twitter also, but, you know, the Texans really have kind of positioned themselves to perhaps move up a couple of spots to get an offensive lineman. And, of course, those guys don't always get a whole lot of love this time of the year. Who are some of the better offensive line prospects that could go in the first couple of rounds?
Well, it's a very good offensive line class, which is kind of strange to say after the last 2 years where it's been a weak group coming out of college. But there's three tackles at top: Jonah Williams from Alabama, Andre Dillard from Washington State, and Jawan Taylor from Florida. And those are really the three apples in teams' eyes that have big tackle needs. And there's a good group of interior players led by the center from NC State, Garrett Bradbury, and Boston College guard Chris Lindstrom, Dalton Risner out of Kansas State. I mean, Eric McCoy, A&M, Elkin Jenkins from Mississippi State. It's an exciting group, and I'm an offensive line nerd, so for me, it's great to see some good quality offensive linemen coming into the NFL, which is just so much different from previous years.
We're talking about the NFL draft. Chad Forbes joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon to break it down for us. And, you know, we were talking before we came on the air about how the draft around these parts has a much different feeling than it has in years past, because the Browns, as of now anyways, don't have a first-round pick. But, you know, there's certainly some rumors out there about the Browns perhaps trading back into the first round. And I guess we'll throw a couple questions at you here. Number one, do you think the Browns will try and make a move to get back into the first round? And if they do, who do you think they're going to target?
Well, I have a buddy who's a Packers executive, and I asked him, how many times has John Dorsey called Brian Gutekunst and gotten sent a voicemail? And he laughed at me and said, probably 10. So Dorsey's trying to get back into the first round. But that's just what Dorsey does. He likes to move the action and push it towards other people. He's, you know, if you kind of go back to that reference of that movie Rounders with Matt Damon, he's kind of like a Teddy KGB. He wants to just keep pushing you and calling you until eventually you say, okay, let me come back to you and you can get the best deal out of this. So he's being aggressive. Now, I don't think he's willing to mortgage significant picks to move up into the first round, but I also think that he feels a little bit right now like he's a rainmaker. And he wants to be aggressive. He wants to, even though it's probably against, I guess, conventional wisdom, he likes the idea that he's exciting the fan base. And I could see him trading into the first round. I know he wants to. Whether that's 30 with the Packers or maybe even higher, maybe 29 with the Seahawks. I think he moves up if he can find a defensive tackle that can connect to Sheldon Richardson and start to really build out that rotation. And it's a very good class for defensive tackles. The guy that he's had his eyes on for a long time is Jeffrey Simmons from Mississippi State. I've also heard a little bit about Jerry Tillery from Notre Dame, who are two big defensive tackles. And then he's also had some interesting corners. I just don't think he'd be as aggressive trading up for one of those guys.
Let's say they don't make a trade and they keep their second-round pick. Do you think there are some attainable targets, especially cornerbacks and maybe some safeties he might have his eye on there?
I mean, the names that I keep an eye on there are Justin Lane from Michigan State as a corner that he's shown some interest in, Sean Bunting from Central Michigan, and then defensive tackle-wise, Jermont Jones from Ohio State. Even Jerry Tillery could make it down to 49. But you know, safety-wise, there's going to be about six safeties that end up going in really round two or a top of round three. So some of those guys might be interesting. Darnell Savage from Maryland, Juan Thornhill from UVA, Taylor Rapp, Washington. So it's a good year to be looking for defensive backs and defensive tackles. So the Browns are positioned pretty well there at 49 and 80.
And while day one may not have as much hype for Browns fans, if you live in Ohio, chances are you're an Ohio State football fan, which always makes this time of the year pretty interesting as well. And we are an Ohio State affiliate here on AM 930 WEOL, so we get all kinds of OSU heat. Well, Nick Bosa is expected to go in the top five or the top three, or perhaps could go number one overall as well. You also hear some things about Dwayne Haskins, too. How do you project Haskins as a prospect, and you know, where do you think he might go here later on today?
I'd love to see an offense, and I think this is kind of just everybody would say this, but I'd love to see an offense similar to Sean McVay's, where it's a defined read. So it's kind of similar to the one that he came out of at Ohio State. And my two favorite fits for him are the Bengals. They're at 11, and the Redskins is 15. I think he'll end up in one of those with one of those teams.
And if we can focus on Bosa for just a moment here, I think you hear a lot of people, I'm not sure if it's fair or it's unfair to compare him to his brother, but essentially they're kind of in the same position. And I think when you watch them both play, they seem to be awfully similar, don't they?
They do. And what Nick Bosa was doing in the Big Ten as an 18, 19-year-old kid is really impressive. And Nick Bosa, what you love about him is, there might be some lingering medical issues throughout the early stages of his career. If you bring him along in a rotation, he's going to produce 10 or 15 sacks for you. And, you know, he might not end up being, you know, a first-team All-Pro, but it's just very rare to find a pass rusher who would say, oh, yeah, he'll get us 10 sacks his rookie year. So I think he's safe, which is really just – that's appealing, especially for an underclassman like he is. And he's also got a lot of upside, so he's a very good player and just a very impressive prospect.
You know, obviously quarterbacks get the most amount of hype when you take a look at just about every draft going back the last at least 20, 25 years. But you know, you look at a few other positions that are at least appear to be on paper pretty doggone deep. I look at a lot of defensive linemen and I see, you know, sometimes edge rushers and linemen kind of get coupled in together. Is it safe to say that those are the two deepest positions in this year's draft?
The front four is a very good, impressive group. Interior guys, so what you call defensive tackle traditionally, ended up being a better group of prospects despite Simmons' injury atop. The edge rush group, there's some questions there, a lot of guys in terms of not just medical, but how they tested. as a position that, you know, guys that are poor testers at the combine rarely work out. But it's a deep group. There's, you know, 15, 20 guys that, you know, deserve consideration in the first three rounds, which is, you know, very impressive. And then I think it's a very good safety group. I think there's seven or eight guys that should all go either second or third round. And it's always, you know, every year, not to the same degree that it will be the next season coming up, because we have a very good running back class. But this is a pretty good running back class. And I also like the wide receiver group. So the talent at the top, it's not a great class, but there's definitely some depth throughout, and that's appealing.
On the other side of that coin, Chad, what would you say would be the position or the position groupings that maybe lack a little bit of depth and may not be as strong on paper?
Yeah, it's a weak quarterback class. Nobody wants to admit it. And, you know, you're seeing all these mock drafts with teams, you know, now these guys projecting all these quarterbacks to go so high. But it's a weak quarterback class. It's a really weak off-ball linebacker class. I think the only two guys that I really say, oh, yeah, he's a first-round pick are Devin White and Devin Bush. And then you start looking and saying, oh, I need a linebacker, you know, in the second or third round. There's nothing there. And that's odd to me. And the corner class is just, it's not a good group. Last year it was a great defensive back corner group, and this year it's just a lot of guys that can't run, and that's not good if you want to find a corner.
Yeah, no question about that. Well, Chad, before we let you go, we've got to ask you about one draft prospect, a guy that certainly gets a lot of attention here locally, coming out of Kentucky, C.J. Conrad. He was a standout here locally at Keystone High School. He's gone on to have a very nice collegiate career, a guy a lot of folks here in Lorain County will certainly have eyes on, maybe not tonight, but going into the weekend. Your thoughts on C.J. Conrad as a tight end draft prospect, and where do you think he might go?
Yeah, it's a very good tight end class, and people are saying there's going to be 18 of them selected. So he could find his way into the back end of the draft. He was productive at Kentucky. I believe there's some medical question marks with him in his senior season, but, you know, he can find his way into the late rounds of that draft. Maybe the Browns even take a swing on him.
That would be interesting, and I'm sure he'd enjoy that playing locally here, no question about that. Well, Chad, as always, we sincerely appreciate the time. Thank you so much for joining us here today. I know you're absolutely slammed all throughout the day, so we appreciate the time. Enjoy tonight, and enjoy the entire weekend, my friend.
It'll be a great weekend, and hopefully the Browns get you guys a little excited tonight.
Yeah, well, let's hope so. We shall find out a little bit later on. Make sure you give Chad a follow on Twitter, at NFL Draft Bites. That's at NFL Draft Bites. Chad's got you covered with the NFL Draft. A great follow if you're a fan of the draft or the NFL in general. Time for a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. We will come back with more fun and excitement after this here on AM 930 WEOL.